Good morning. I thought there were some people in the room. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bon dia.
Bon dia.
Molweni. Yes, I'm quite overcome, really. You often get this kind of introduction where somebody says, well, he does not really need to be introduced well. One day, I've told this story before, I always tell the same stories, but be nice to me since I'm an old man and you will. A lady, we were in San Francisco, came up to greet me, and she was very, very excited and warm. And she said, hello, Archbishop Mandela. Sort of getting two for the price of one. But it's such a great, great joy to be back, yes, home. Now I'm looking at my former boss here, Emilio, and my former colleague, Aharon, and his very beautiful wife. I gather I did have to greet you. Bonjour, you beautiful things from France. Hello. Hi. Hi. I have come in part to say again a very big thank you. You do not know just how much you meant and mean for very many people, but I certainly know what you meant for us in the days of our struggle against apartheid. The WCC was quite amazing. Oh, I didn't pay my respects with the moderator and vice moderator and general secretary. I want you to know that in many ways we would not be free had it not been for the steadfast support we got from the World Council of Churches through a support that cost the council a very great deal. Some of you will know of the program to combat racism. Well, many of the member churches in South Africa suspended their membership fees. And the World Council of Churches was seen as not being very far from the devil, really. You supported us. You gave grants to our liberation movements. That was a very costly solidarity. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much that you did not say, we need to think again what we want to do. You stuck by what you believed was true. And here we are today, a free, a democratic South Africa. It was because of what you did then, and many, many of your member churches, not just in South Africa, but in other parts of the world, made you pay a very heavy price for that solidarity. Sometimes maybe you forget that you did that. I want to remind you, you did it. And you helped to get Nelson Mandela walking out of prison. You helped to give the world this extraordinary icon of forgiveness and reconciliation. He could so easily have died in prison. He didn't, because of you. Thank you. Thank you. Ah, you know what? I discovered that I had a wonderful wand, magic wand. When I wave it over people, it has got this extraordinary power. When I wave it over you, it turns you into instant South Africans. So I wave it over you. And I say, fellow South Africans, let us give all of our sisters and brothers in the World Council of Churches and in the ecumenical movement a real, well, they would say a humdinger. Come on, let's give them. Come. No. No. Do you know why? That's not how you clap when somebody has unlocked shackles, removed chains. You don't. No, man, you really get excited. No, I think we must make you stand. Come on, let's give the ecumenical movement a standing ovation. Yes. Thank you. Oh yes, by the way, I wave my wand over you and you revert to your normal shy self. I have to be very careful when I do that kind of thing. One day I was in Australia and there were about 300 or so young people, and I said, you know, the trouble with us is that we don't celebrate who we are. Let's give ourselves a very warm hand. And they did one that nearly took the roof off. And then I said, how about giving God a standing ovation? And they really went to town. And when they finished, without thinking, I said, thank you. But I also want to say that I owe to the World Council of Churches more than I could ever say. When you have heard that I got a TEF scholarship which enabled me to go and study at King's College in London. But more than that was the incredible privilege I had of being a staff person when we worked with Aharon and Shoki Ko, Jim Berquist and Ivy Zhu. We were based in London and we were supposed to be carrying out a mandate that spoke about contextualization. I was exposed for the first time to liberation theology and visited the United States and was exposed there to black theology. And this man, whenever we sat, we were discussing projects, Aharon would say, oh, You must have something radical, man. You must have something radical. For him, anything that was not radical, we had to throw out of the window. But I want to thank him and my other colleagues. You helped me to grow. I was slightly less bad. I was perhaps a little better equipped for the work that I was subsequently to do. Because after the TEF, I went and became Dean of Johannesburg, and it was about the time of the Soweto Uprising. And then Bishop of Lesotho, and then General Secretary of the Sacred Council of Churches. And yes, we got the Nobel Peace Prize, but they were quite clear that that Nobel Peace Prize was really given. They gave it to me. We were in Bali a few years ago with a number of young people, and they said, how do you get a Nobel Peace Prize? And I said, oh, very, very easy, very, very easy. You need only three things. One, you must have a large nose, one. Two, you must have an easy name, Tutu. Three, and I was in shorts at the time, I said, and you must have sexy legs. But no, the Nobel Committee were quite clear that the prize was really being awarded to all of us, especially in the South African Council of Churches. And they chose me because, yes, on the whole, you will tend not to forget me because of the size of my nose and an easy name. I mean, if I had had supposing I'd been something like Makashalala, they might have found it difficult to give it to me. But again, the Ecumenical family were fantastic. We read the scriptures sometimes, and you understand why our Lord said it would be difficult. He didn't say it was impossible. He says it would be difficult when you are rich to enter heaven. Because obviously, I mean, to enter heaven is to be able to receive a gift. Salvation is given freely. It is a grace. You can't earn it. And when you are well-to-do, it's very difficult. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. There are a few rich people in heaven. You can make it there too. But it is when life is rough that you actually begin to understand, I think, the meaning of the gospel. Because there's a very strange little word that Jesus speaks when Peter says to him, you know what? We've left everything and followed you. What are we going to get? And Jesus says to him, well, you're going to have sisters and brothers more than you can number. And that sounds an outrageous promise. Until you are roughed up, when things really go bad and you feel so low, as somebody says, you could crawl under a snake. And then, here we are. We're sitting in the offices of the South African Council of Churches, and the government is really roughing us up. And then you get a letter. You get a letter from Alaska. Now, obviously, there are no God-forsaken places in the world. But But when you are in Johannesburg, Alaska, you know Alaska well, and yet in Alaska, they write, they say, Bishop Tutu, we here in this Lutheran parish pray for you. And we pray for you by name. And they've got the names of all of us working for the South African Council of Churches. We're prayed for in Alaska by name. How many so-called secular organizations could match that? And I spoke once to a contemplative, she lived all by herself. And I said, tell me a little bit about your life. And she said, oh yes, I live in the woods in California. And my day starts at 2 in the morning. And I pray for you. And I said, here I am, prayed for at 2 in the morning in the woods in California. What chance does the apartheid government stand? And clearly, they stood no chance at all. For where are they now? Where are they now? So, you don't know. And maybe God does that deliberately. Because if we did know some of the things we are able to achieve by praying for somebody, for supporting somebody, you'd not be able to get a hat that would fit that size of head. We would be so solemn-headed. And so, let me finish. I will finish. I mean, I was look. I see, the moderator is looking at me. He's really quite worried because he knows that a preacher with a podium and a captive audience, well, I mean, it's a temptation they will find very difficult to resist. You did hear the story of the preacher who went on for, oh, Lord, are you preaching? And at last he said, what more can I say? And somebody in the back of the church said, amen. I really am finishing. And I just want to say that when we were engaged in the process of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, we were exposed to some of the most horrendous stories. And one was so aware of the reality of evil. You realized that we, all of us, have an extraordinary capacity for evil. But that was not the whole picture, nor the most important part of the story. Fantastically, one of the other things we came to realize, and that's the thing that we took away after a traumatic time, what we took away was the fact that we also have this extraordinary capacity for good. There is a lot of evil in the world. Yes, yes, yes. There's no doubt about that. But hey, there is also an incredible amount of good. perhaps God looking down and seeing the things that are happening in the Middle East, in Zimbabwe, in Burma, in Tibet. Maybe sometimes God says, now can somebody please tell me, why did I create that lot? Yes, and God cries. God cries. And then God looks again, and God looks again, and God sees you. God sees you. And all of those you represent, and the incredible things that you do right around the world. And a smile breaks out on God's face. Smile as if the sun was shining through the rain. And did you notice? And there's that little angel going up to wipe the tears from God's eyes. And God says, yes, yes. They vindicated me. That's why I created them. Because evil, injustice, oppression, all of those awful things are not going to have the last word. Goodness, laughter, joy, caring, compassion, the things that you do, things that you do, and the things that you help others do, those are what are going to prevail. Goodness, laughter, joy, caring,